What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get started, I did just drop a new music video yesterday for my single, Politards. Perfectly timed for the upcoming stupid-ass election. So I'm running for president in this one. You'll see I fit the bill perfectly with what we usually have up to vote for. So I fit right in. It's satirical, so get over yourselves if you have no sense of humor. You may not want to watch it. But, yeah, go check it out on my website, katietrop.net, or you can check it out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/katietrop, and enjoy yourself while watching that. So let's get into week 9 of the NFL and the weekend of football. Let's go ahead and begin with my shitty-ass Dallas Cowboys versus the Atlanta Falcons. The Cowboys do what the Cowboys do. As I said a couple weeks ago and continue to reiterate, it is going to be a long season if you are a Cowboys fan. We're probably going to get our asses beat in every single game. We pretty much got our asses beat yesterday. The score was close, 27-21 Falcons, but they pretty much were dominating us. The only time the Cowboys led was after the first drive. We had the lead 3-0, and then the Falcons decided to score 7 points, and it pretty much went downhill from there. The defense, stepped up a little bit, but I mean, overall, just terrible defense, no ground attack. And then, of course, pretty much the only two decent players we have on the field, Dak Prescott injured his hamstring. So not only did he leave that game early yesterday, but he's going to be out a few weeks. They have not said how long he's going to be out. But hey, all you Dak Prescott haters, you now get to see what the team looks like without Dak Prescott. And I'm sure it's going to be pretty fucking shitty, but who the fuck cares? The season was already a wash. C.D. Lamb, it looks like he injured his shoulder as well. Doesn't look like it's going to be anything debilitating. Looks like he's actually questionable for the upcoming game this week, but doesn't fucking matter because the Cowboys look like shit, and it's only going to get more difficult since we have Philly coming to town. But I will say, on the Falcons' side of the ball, they had a very solid game offensively. Kirk Cousins, 19 for 24, 222 yards and 3 touchdowns. And they just really, overall, offensively, had a very good game. Defensively, they're actually not that good of a defensive team. But since they were playing the Cowboys' shitty and inept offense, they were able to actually have a very solid defensive game as well. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. This was a shootout. Both of these teams, it was just back and forth all the way to the bitter end. As a matter of fact, the Bills, Tyler Bass, had a walk-off 61-yard game-winning field goal to win this one for the Bills, 30-27. Josh Allen, what a hell of a game this guy had, 25 for 39. 235 yards and 3 touchdowns. Just a good game from him. Tua actually had a fantastic game as well. I will say, even though the Dolphins lost in this one, this was probably the Dolphins' best game of the season where they were actually pretty locked in offensively. It's just, I mean, this is just one of those games, how it goes, where it's just back and forth. And, I mean, the Bills really lucked out. I mean, it's pretty rare when you actually get a 61-yard field goal to make it, but to actually walk off win like that, yeah, that was pretty crazy. But, I mean, overall, Dolphins played a pretty decent game. The Bills just got the win. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals actually have their first legit game of the season. They dominated from start to finish. Got the big win, 41-24. Joe Burrow went 27 for 39, 251 yards and 5 touchdowns. And just absolutely obliterated this Vegas Raiders defense. And the offense was just so inept that they literally fired their offensive coordinator after this game. So that's how that season's going for the Raiders. Then we had the Los Angeles Chargers at the Cleveland Browns. This game went as expected. Everybody, to me, was just hopping on this Jameis Winston train like he was going to turn around the Browns. And it's like, dude, the Browns' problems aren't just the quarterback. Yes, that was a problem, but they're just not that good of a team. It showed in this one. Jameis Winston actually ended up having 3 interceptions in this one, so it was back down to earth for that Jameis Winston train. But the Chargers just dominated this one, 27-10. Justin Herbert had one of his best games of the season, going 18 for 27, 282 yards and 2 touchdowns. J.K. Dobbins had 85 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Quentin Johnston at the wide receiver position had 118 yards receiving and a touchdown. So it was pretty much all Chargers all day in this one. Then we had the New England Patriots at the Tennessee Titans. This one actually ended up being a pretty crazy game. It was slow moving all the way till the fourth quarter. Then on the last play of the game, Drake May just made this insane play where he was just running back and forth, back and forth. I believe he had the ball for 12, 13, 14 seconds and was able to avoid some sacks and toss up a prayer and hit the game-winning touchdown or game-tying touchdown. But the Titans got the ball in overtime. They were able to kick a field goal. And then the Patriots, unfortunately for Drake May, he came right out on their first possession of overtime, throwing an interception. Mason Rudolph, he played in this game for the Titans. He went 20 for 33, 240 yards, two touchdowns. Tony Pollard, 128 yards on the ground. So a game that we all expected to be pretty terrible actually ended up being pretty interesting, at least towards the end. Then we had the Washington Commanders at the New York Giants. This one actually ended up being pretty decent towards the end. The Commanders were commanding this game from the start. But then the Giants, they actually started scoring some points in the fourth quarter, making it interesting. But of course, the Commanders were able to hold on because the Giants are an absolutely dreadful team. But they made it interesting there. The Commanders won 27-22. Jaden Daniels went 15 for 22, 209 yards and two touchdowns. And just an overall, another efficient day from Jaden Daniels. And the Giants, just terrible. And that's just what the Giants do. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers got the win 23-22 in a sloppy-ass game from both teams. But the Panthers just wanted it that much more. They got the win 23-22. And this was the seventh straight loss for the New Orleans Saints. You know, they started off the season with a bang. They were kicking everybody's ass. And then it's just the injury bug has hit them really bad. But they just don't look like a good team with an identity. And losing to the Carolina Panthers, probably the worst team in the league or one of the worst teams in the league, that's going to get your coach fired. And so Dennis Allen becomes the second coach of the year to be fired. He's been fired midway through the season. I mean, really, it kind of feels like he was on thin ice coming into the season just because the Saints really have not been good since he has taken over at the coaching position. And it just hasn't been a good time for the New Orleans Saints. You could just tell that if they weren't going to get it going this year, excuse me, that he was going to get fired. Like I said, they haven't made the playoffs under him. And they don't look good now. 7-game losing streak, losing to the worst team in the league. That's going to get you fired, and he has been fired. So that's how that game went. Then we had the Denver Broncos at the Baltimore Ravens, and this also went as expected, in my opinion. I knew the Ravens were going to bounce back big. After the loss they suffered, they usually do, and that is exactly what they did. Coming into this game, actually, surprisingly, the Denver Broncos have one of the top defenses in the league. And this Baltimore Ravens team ran all over them yesterday. They got the win 41-10. Lamar Jackson had a perfect passer rating on the day, went 16 for 19, only three incompletions on the day, 280 yards and three touchdowns. So extremely efficient. Big chunk plays. Derrick Henry, 106 yards, two touchdowns. Zay Flowers, 127 yards, two touchdowns. This offense is becoming more and more unstoppable as the season wears on. Ravens just looked flat out fantastic in this one. Then we had the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles were pretty much dominating this one all the way up until the end. The Jaguars did get it going in the third quarter. They scored 16 points in the third quarter, but it just wasn't enough to get this one. The Eagles did enough in the beginning to just keep that lead and keep the distance, and they ended up getting the win 28-23. The Eagles actually ended up getting an interception to seal the win for them in the end. Jalen Hurts had a solid day. He went 18 for 24, 230 yards and two touchdowns. Saquon Barkley had 159 yards and a touchdown on the day. Had a crazy play where he jumped over a defender backwards. He was backwards and just jumps in the air and jumps right over him and keeps on running too, man. Saquon Barkley having a fantastic year. And then Devontae Smith also had 87 yards and a touchdown. So just a really overall good game from the Eagles and just another typically shitty game from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then we had the Chicago Bears at the Arizona Cardinals. The Bears offensively are starting to fall apart. They cannot get a score. They played terribly a week ago, and now here they are again playing terribly in this one. They got their asses kicked 29-9 in this one. James Conner went off yesterday for the Cardinals. He had 107 yards on the ground, but just an overall terrible game offensively for the Bears. But the Cardinals, they were able to put together a solid game and get another solid win, and they're 5-4 on the season in a very close division. I mean, the NFC West can really go any way at this point, because the Cardinals, the Rams, the Niners, the Seahawks, they are all right in it. So it's going to be interesting to see how this division turns out in the end. Then we had the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers, and the Detroit Lions continue to prove that they are the best team in the league, at least right now. They smashed the Packers 24-14. It was absolute Detroit domination all day. And this was a sloppy game because it was raining so hard. Jordan Love had this terrible interception that was a pick six for the Lions, and they just walked right into the end zone. But, I mean, just the Lions look good offensively, defensively, special teams. They're just so efficient. They just play such mistake-free football that it's just, and they're beating good teams, bad teams, kicking ass in certain games. They're winning the close ones. Really, the only game that they lost was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that could have gone their way too. So it's not like they've got their ass kicked, at least yet on the season. So they are really putting together a just a great run, at least right now. And to me, the Detroit Lions are separating themselves from every single team in the league. And that goes for the Ravens too. I feel like the Ravens are probably the best team in the AFC, but to me, the Lions, they look like the best team in every facet of the game possible. And they proved it yesterday against their division rivals in an outdoor game in shitty-ass weather, too. I mean, this was not just, like, cold Green Bay weather. This was a downpour of rain the entire game. And the Lions made it look easy. And the Packers looked like they were playing in the mud. And usually it's the opposite. And the Lions, they are just looking head and shoulders above everybody in the league right now. Then we had the Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. This game went into overtime. It was, I would call, a typical Seahawks-Rams game where it was just back and forth the whole way through. Then the Seahawks, they were able to tie it up, send the game into overtime. But good old Matty Stafford, do what Matty Stafford do. He threw this beautiful bomb for a touchdown for a walk-off win for the Rams, 26-20. I mean, it was a duel between both Smith and Stafford yesterday. Just a great display of football from both teams. And this is what I mean, man. The division matchups are always crazy, and this is what you tend to get in these division matchups. And like I said, this NFC West is just crazy. And a game like this, it just proves it. And just a crazy game. I mean, but the Seahawks, though, their offensive line is so bad. I mean, Geno Smith on his ass all day. 7 sacks. On Geno Smith, and it just was, and this Rams defense, not what they used to be, but they had 7 sacks yesterday on Geno Smith and really made it difficult for him, even though he still passed for 363 yards and 3 touchdowns on the day. But and then Jaxon Smith-Njigba is just becoming a breakout star for the Seattle Seahawks. He had 180 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns, but unfortunately all for naught since the Rams walked away with the win. Then the Sunday night football matchup, we had the Indianapolis Colts at the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings, it really started off slow for them, but then they finally started to get it going in the second half. Colts were just cold and stagnant pretty much the whole way, other than a defensive touchdown that they ended up getting in the second quarter. But Sam Darnold had a hell of a night, 28 for 34, 290 yards and 3 touchdowns, and just a big night all around for the Vikings. They really needed this win because they were on a 2-game losing streak, and they're in a tough division, you know. Now, speaking of the NFC West, the NFC North is another crazy division where it's kind of the opposite of the West. The West is a bunch of okay teams battling it out for their division. the NFC North is actually three excellent teams battling it out. And then, of course, you have the Bears, too, who I think they're a good team, but they still have a lot of growing pains. But, I mean, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Packers are all three legit-ass teams. And I would not be shocked if all three of them made the playoffs, but it's going to be interesting to see who wins this division because, yes, the Lions are separating themselves, but anything could happen the second half of the year. And these three teams are really tied up within each other, and it could come down to a battle like at the last week of the season. But the Vikings got the win yesterday, 21-13, in a big win that they needed over the Indianapolis Colts, who did not look good with their first game with Joe Flacco as quarterback. I mean, he was pretty inept. He looked pretty old. But also, this to me, the Colts were not that good of a team. They were going to be floundering anyway. So that's just kind of how I thought that game was going to go. Then tonight's Monday Night Football matchup, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are an 8.5-point favorite. I would have taken this as an upset game. I would have taken the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if they had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin playing in this one. Because offensively, I feel like they would have had enough firepower to actually score on this Chiefs defense and outscore the Chiefs offense, which is pretty inept for the most part this season. But with no Evans or Godwin, I can't take the Bucs in this one. I will say the Chiefs should be on upset alert because I feel like if any team could do it, it is the Buccaneers because they are a good team. They're a good road team. They're a good defensive squad. I mean, I feel like the Chiefs, regardless, their offense is going to have issues tonight because the Tampa Bay Bucs front seven is really good, and I think they're going to bring it to Patrick Mahomes. I think the Bucs are just not going to have enough firepower offensively. I feel like the Chiefs' defense is really going to lock it down. And I've got the Chiefs winning a close one, 23-20. And the homie Simon Ruvalcaba, he also has the Chiefs winning this one, 31-20. Turning to the NBA, this is going to be the first week of the Top 10 NBA Power Rankings, so it could easily change, but I feel like there's going to be a couple of teams here that I'm discussing regularly throughout the season. So let's get right into the Top 10 NBA Power Rankings for the first week. Well, it's technically the first 2 weeks of the season since I did not do week one, but I feel like a few of these teams are going to be here for the majority of the season, but most of them probably going to be knocked out. So let's get started with number one. Boston Celtics, they are 6-1 on the season. They are the defending champion, so you got to give them that edge. And they come right out the gate playing great. Unfortunately for them, Jaylen Brown, he is battling through injuries, but it's early on in the season, so that's when you do want to suffer your injuries is at the beginning of the year. This past week, they got the win over the Milwaukee Bucks. They lost to the Indiana Pacers, and they beat the Chicago, or not the Chicago, they beat the Charlotte Hornets twice this past week. They are first in points per game right now. They are averaging 124 points per game right now, and that's pretty much what they did all last year, was dominate in points per game, and here they still are dominating in points per game for another year in a row. So we'll see what happens with the Celtics, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be discussing the Boston Celtics in the Top 10 all season long. Then at number two on my Top 10 NBA Power Rankings are the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are one of the two remaining undefeated teams in the league. They are 7-0 on the season, and they've come right out the gate. They are smashing everybody right now. This past week, they took out the Knicks, the Lakers, the Orlando Magic, and the Milwaukee Bucks, and they are just scoring you out of the building. Right now, they are first in field goal percentage, knocking down 53% of their shots. They're second in three-point percentage, knocking down 41% of their three-pointers, and they're in second place right behind the Boston Celtics in points per game. They're averaging 123 points per game, so only 1 point less than the Boston Celtics, but I mean, they've really come out the gate. We'll see if they're able to maintain that throughout the season, but right now, Cleveland looks pretty damn good. Then at number three on my Top 10 NBA Power Rankings of the Oklahoma City Thunder, they are 6-0 on the season this past week. They are the other undefeated team, by the way, obviously, but those are the only two undefeated teams left, Cleveland and Oklahoma City still. Oklahoma City is 6-0 on the season. This past week, they took out the Atlanta Hawks, San Antonio Spurs, the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Los Angeles Clippers. This team, you know, last year was all about SGA. So far, Chet Holmgren is going off. He's averaging 18 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, and 3 assists per game. So he's really dominating in all ways that he can. But I actually do expect him to take another step up this season just because he had a fantastic year last year, and it was technically his rookie year. So now it's technically his second year, and he is looking real strong, looking great right out the gate. And I you know, Oklahoma City, they were a team that I wasn't really sure about last year. Well, they've pretty much kicked off the season the way they did last year. Looks like we're going to be talking about them again all season long. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Phoenix Suns. Overall record of 5-1. This past week, they took out the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Portland Trail Blazers. And this team is scoring you out of the building. Booker averaging 27 points per game. KD averaging 26 points per game. Bradley Beal averaging 17 points per game. And then you've got Tyus Jones coming out of nowhere. This guy, he's having a fantastic season to start as well. I mean, Phoenix is really putting together scoring-wise. Nurkic, he's also having a good year. So we'll see what we get from Phoenix. I kind of feel like with Phoenix, it's going to be, if they suffer injuries, that's going to be what their downfall is. But if this team is able to just stay healthy, they're going to be real difficult to keep up with. I mean, Booker and KD are just going off, but then you add in Beal and Tyus and Nurkic. This team looks pretty damn good, at least so far. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Lakers, overall record of 4-2. This past week, they lost to the Phoenix Suns, then they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, but did get a win over the Toronto Raptors. This team is rolling through AD, though. He is averaging, listen to this stat line, averaging 32 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, 3 assists per game, and 2 steals per game. This guy is covering every stat line possible. As I continue to say about the Lakers, we go through AD. No matter what anybody says, yes, LeBron, excellent player, one of the greatest to ever do it, but he is on the downside of his career. Whether everybody wants to admit it or not, he is. This team goes through AD. We need LeBron to play great. We need LeBron to do his thing. But we always need AD to be a championship-level team, and he is on some right now. To me, he looks like he's pissed off because he was pissed off that he wasn't Defensive Player of the Year last year. I feel like he's got, like, MVP on the mind this year. So we'll see how he's able to progress as the season wears on. But we go as AD goes. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Dallas Mavericks. Overall record of 4-2. This past week, they got a win over the Utah Jazz, the Minnesota Timberwolves, lost to the Houston Rockets, and got a win over the Orlando Magic. Klay Thompson is actually fitting right in with this team. He's just been... He's obviously doesn't need to be the go-to guy because Luka is the go-to guy. If you look at the stat line for Luka, he is number 1. Leading the team in every single category you possibly can. So Luka's doing what Luka needs to do. But I feel like Klay fitting right in. And as the season wears on, I think he's just going to get into his role more and more. And just gel better with the Mavericks team as the season wears on. But so far, they look pretty damn good. And Luka, of course, looks fantastic. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team I did not think I was going to be talking about, but here we are. It's not shocking, but I keep waiting to close the door on this team, and here they still are, the Golden State Warriors, 5-1 on the season. This past week, they lost to the Clippers, beat the New Orleans Pelicans twice, and then the Houston Rockets, they beat them as well. One of the reasons why I didn't expect to talk about them is because Steph Curry's been out the last week, and we don't really know when he's coming back. It doesn't look like it's a debilitating injury, but he's been out. And you kind of expect with no Klay, and with Curry out, that this team's going to fall back. Well, Buddy Hield has stepped it up. You know, he's the new guy in town for this team, and he's really actually been carrying this team. And Draymond having a pretty solid year so far. But the Golden State Warriors, did not expect to be talking about them right now. Now, who knows how much longer we're going to be discussing them, but, I mean, they're 5-1 on the season and playing pretty damn good, at least right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 3-3. This past week, they got the win over the Toronto Raptors. The Brooklyn Nets lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves and got a win over the Utah Jazz. They have had a slow start. They started off the season with a few losses. Now here they are getting it going with a few wins. Jokic had his first triple-double of the season. Now I will say his stat line that he's averaging right now is typical Jokic, averaging 30 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, and 10 assists per game. So he's actually averaging a triple-double per game. But it's been a slow start for the Nuggets. I will say I always have questions. Whatever team Russell Westbrook is on, he tends to ruin the vibe. It just is his thing, and Denver picked up Russell Westbrook this offseason, and it kind of feels like he's killing the vibe. I don't know if that's going to be a season-long thing, but I will say he's a vibe killer. He's a known vibe killer, and the Nuggets are 3-3 to start the season, so is he killing this vibe, or is he just going to add to him? Now, I will say Murray has been battling through injuries so far, so that's a big deal for them, but is Russell Westbrook going to be a vibe killer for the Denver Nuggets this year? Now, I do have, with a 3-3 record, you would think that I wouldn't be talking about the Nuggets, but to me, the Denver Nuggets, I'm giving them their past respect from the past couple of seasons of being one of the most dominant teams, plus they've got Jokic, and I mean, right now, the first couple of weeks of basketball is just a crapshoot, so I've got the Nuggets there, but we're going to see how the rest of the season progresses on with Russell Westbrook, because he doesn't seem to be fitting in that well right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record of 4-3. This past week, they lost to the Chicago Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets, but got wins over the Milwaukee Bucks and the Philadelphia 76ers. Ja Morant is back this year off of his ACL injury, off of his suspension, over his bullshit off the court issues. So this year, fresh start for the dude. Right now, he is averaging 20 points per game and 10 assists per game, so that's excellent stat line for him. Jaren Jackson fitting right in with this team. He's actually having a solid season, but they are battling through their injuries. Marcus Smart is injured right now. So we'll see what happens with Memphis as the season progresses on. But right now, Ja seems to be back in order and playing at a high level. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week have the New York Knicks. Overall record of 3-2. This past week, they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, but did get wins over the Miami Heat and the Detroit Pistons. Right now, they are first in three-point percentage, knocking down 42% of their three-pointers. They're also second in field goal percentage, knocking down 50% of their shots. So they're doing great offensively. Defensively, not too bad. You can tell Karl Anthony Towns is still trying to find his way. I mean, it is only the first 2 weeks of the NBA season, so he's got his time, but you could tell it's taken time for him to really fit in with this team. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.